Thank you for listening to Spiritual Teachings with Shunyamurti, recorded live at the Sat Yoga Ashram in Costa Rica. To join us for a life-changing meditation retreat, or to make a donation to support this transformational work, please visit our website, www.satyoga.org. To access more teachings or guided meditations from Shunyamurti, please visit the members section of our website or our YouTube channel, Sat Yoga Institute. Namaste.
Interestingly, when I go through the history of the great sages of the different spiritual traditions, nearly all of them were touched by death at an early age. Dogen Zenji, the famous Japanese Zen master, his mother died when he was 7, and that sent him on a search for truth and for passing through the portals of death to know eternal life. Ramana Maharshi, his father, dying at 12, sending him on a search that at the age of 16 leads him to that fear of death that he doesn't run away from, but he goes into and comes out the other side immortal. We could go down a long list of sages who have gone through a near-death experience or an experience of the death of another that caused them to go through such a state of mourning that there was a death of ego and a return to life egolessly. I want to read one story, just a short passage from a great Korean Zen master named Daego. Unfortunate name, perhaps, but on the other hand, perhaps that's Shiva's sense of humor. So the king asks, wants to know about the story. How did he become an enlightened being? And he says, well, it was not born of heaven on earth, nor was it gained spontaneously. In the past, while traveling on foot in Korea, I came to a patron's garden, and under a shadowless tree, I encountered this thing with no edges, no seams, no place to get a grip on it. I came to a 10,000 fathom cliff and I let go with my whole body. There was no breath of life at all. And when suddenly I came to life again, I was floating at ease. Nevertheless, people doubted me, and I thought there would be no one to give clear proof. The more I hid it, the stronger it became. The more I wanted to hide it, the more it was evident. My evil repute and the stinking smell filled the world, and today I obey the command to become the abbot of the monastery and hold it up before you. So the smell of immortality. Very interesting. There's almost a sense of shame, a sense of he is no longer human, he is different. He has become something else. And he can't hide it. He's gone through a death, something, some unknowable thing caught him. We would call this Mahakal, the great death. And so there are those who are captured by the great death and brought forcibly through the portal in order to fulfill a function in the world. And they are never the same. But every sat yogi is a being who, in a way, has invited death in. Because whenever you meditate, isn't that really what you're doing? You're dying at least a little bit to the ego. You're inviting death to come into your space. And so if you invite death in, what I suggest is offer to play a game of chess with him. Not poker, not Russian roulette, but a good chess game can last a long time and you can learn a great deal. Aren't we all really playing chess with death all the time? But death is in our space because every ego is in a state of lack. Every ego is in a state of dissatisfaction. The mantra or the motto I think of every ego I've ever met is, I complain, therefore I am. Every ego is a mass of complaints. Things to be angry at, things to blame someone for, things to be dissatisfied about. And what is it really complaining about? It complains that it has no essence. It complains that at its core there's a black hole that it does not want to be sucked into, but it's always struggling to stay away from. And so it covers over that emptiness and that black hole with complaints and with desires and with fears and with rajasic activity and tamasic inertia and spacing out and avoidance of the truth. And we have to go through that black hole and discover the light at the end of the tunnel, at the innermost core of our being, that we don't know is there until we have made the journey. But making the journey begins with giving up your complaints. And along with giving up the complaints goes with the giving up of the power struggle to control. The ego is always trying to have the locus of control, but it doesn't control anything. It doesn't control its own mind, its own affects, its own behavior. It pretends it does, but it doesn't. And so every ego is in a state of cognitive dissonance. St. Paul was famous for saying that. I want to act in a Christ-like way, but I find myself still acting like a jerk. How is that possible, you know? Even after I'm struck by lightning on the road to Damascus, I'm not able to act in a divine manner. But all of us have this cognitive dissonance, don't we? You make a promise, I'm never going to do this again, and then you do it, right? How many can relate to that? How many have experienced that? No one here, of course, I get it. I think the religions call cognitive dissonance fallenness. That's the fallen state. Because we are fallen from that power that we want to have to lead our lives in a virtuous way, a beautiful way, an honorable way, and yet we find ourselves acting like the egocentric, narcissistic structure makes happen. And then eventually we realize that the ego is a robot and we don't have control over it. There is no locus of control. The ego's going to do what it's going to do. And so people work so hard, I'm going to transform, I'm going to become virtuous, I'm going to get my disciplines together. But somehow, there's always a glitch. So what Satyoga recommends is stop trying to find the locus of control and instead, reach for the locus of release. So the truth is, there is an ego that's part of the matrix. The Sankhya philosophers of ancient India called it Prakriti. And they said, separate Purusha from Prakriti. But it's very hard. Purusha has feelings for Prakriti. And so you have to become dispassionate, don't you? Not only toward the attachments of the ego, but from the ego itself. It's that that represents yoga. It starts with vyoga. It starts with separation, not union. If there isn't separation from the ego robot, you will never find freedom. It's after the separation that the real self can then merge into the absolute and find out what immortality is.
Thank you for listening to the Spiritual Teachings with Shunyamurti podcast. For more information on programs and retreats, click on the calendar section of our website, www.satyoga.org. Our work is made possible by the generous support of our listeners, viewers, and members. To make a donation, please visit the donate page of our website. We thank you for your support in our mission to share this timeless wisdom with the world. Namaste.